Sean Lewis!
We are filming this, so we're going to clip it up, put it on the internet, and then I collect like comments from blokes who say things like, women aren't funny, and like, no one will fuck me, so cannot wait for them. Thanks so much for coming out. I am a proud survivor of the school holidays. I used to be a teacher, I used to be a high school teacher for about 10 years, and I used to think there weren't enough school holidays. Now I've got three children of my own, there are too many fucking school holidays. Got a strategy. You can use it if you want. What I do with my three kids, I say, come and let's look at the back fence. And I take them to the very furthest part of the backyard. And I say, see that bit of the fence? Look at it for a bit. And then I sprint back to the house and I slam the back door. I lock it. I run down the hallway. I slam that door, run into my room, slam that door, get into the cupboard and close it. And then just as I exhale, I see a collection of fat, filthy fingers slide in and they open it and then it's my three kids standing there like the children of the corn. I always say this, Mum, what are we doing today? I say, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to snort contraceptive pills, so. They don't get it. I get through the school holidays by learning a skill. I just learn a new skill each one, and this last one I've got a really good one. I've really refined it. I'm really good at hitting the roof. I'm really, really good at hitting the roof. You remember, you guys know what hitting the roof is? You know, it's when your mum or your dad says, "Hand it up there," you know, and they're like, "I'm not letting you lose it," you know. Fuck, it feels so good. It always reminds me of my mum. When I hit the roof, I think, fuck, I'm turning into it. And no one wants to turn into their mother, but we all are. You're all turning into your mother. And you don't want to, even if your mum's the best woman in the world, you don't want to turn into her. Even if you're one of those psychos who's like, my mum's my best friend. You don't want to turn into her. So I remember when my mum used to hit the roof. She was a single mum of five kids and she hit the roof a lot. She should have hit it more, but she was too tired. Anyway, now I've got three kids of my own. Now I know what she wanted. She wanted our reaction to be. Now I get it, okay? I know that when she hit the roof, what she wanted us to be like is, oh, my God, we are so sorry. Oh, my God, we can't believe it. We are so sorry. We've taken advantage of you. Yep, you've sacrificed so much for us. Your mind, your body, fuck, you look better before. Your financial situation, Christ, can you imagine how much money you'd have if it wasn't for us cunts, you know? So for whatever we did, we are so sorry, but that's not your reaction when your mum hit the roof, is it? Because when your mum hits the roof, it's the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen. When your mum hits the roof, you just have to put all your energy into not laughing, you know? Like your face goes all weird, like you're making weird noises and it looks like you do the same face that you do when you're putting on mascara. It's when she's finally finished hitting the roof, you have to be like, okay, bye, Mum. And then you run out and you find your siblings and you're like, it was a good one, a vein popped out, a vein popped out. I remember one time when my mum hit the roof, there was us five kids at this like vintage glass top dining table, and we were just like waiting for mum to finish dinner, and she was just in the kitchen just cooking food, like there was no heat elements on, she was just cooking it with her hot flashes, and we were just chatting away, and then mum took the casserole dish out of the oven, walked over to the table and threw it through the glass table. And we were like, oh! And we stood up. We didn't look at her, too scary, but we stood up. And just like brushed the pasta and the glass off our thighs and just walked out of the room like this. When we got to the next room, we're like, oh, she's fucked it this time. How funny is this? I used to think when mum hit the roof, it came out of nowhere. Like it was just as much a surprise to her as it was to us. Like, surprise! You know, like it was... But now I know as a mother that sometimes it actually does come out of nowhere. On the weekend, my 8-year-old took her shoes off and she just put them in the lounge room. And I said, hey, mate, can you put those away? And I felt fine. Serene even. And she went, what? I just saw white. I was like, I said, take off your fucking shirt! I scared the shit out of myself. I put myself in timeout. I was like, so I've taken advantage of you. I'm from regional Australia. I'm from regional Australia. And I get very defensive of the country because I live in the city now. But I'm becoming really defensive of the country, which I think is weird. That's taken me by surprise. Because you people in the city make fun of us. You do. Just annoying, you know. Like there's this woman who lives on my street. Her name's Amanda. And she thinks she's allowed to talk to me. And can you believe it? And she says weird stuff. Like she finds out weird things about me. Like I think she goes through my mail and she goes, oh, hey, Bron. I learned something about you. I learned that you're from the country. I'm like, where's this going, Amanda? And she goes, can you just settle something for me? I've heard that people from the country are stupid. She said that to my face. I was like, I think that is a gross generalisation. Whatever, Amanda, I've got to go. Anyway, recently I went back to Wagga and she's spot on. It's not going well in Wagga Wagga. It is not going well in Wagga Wagga. Something's in the water. It's ice. I'm worried about Wagga Wagga. When I went there, I had to get my hair cut, so I just Googled hairdressers in Wagga Wagga. And the first one that came up, I clicked on it, I called the lady, I said, hello, I'd like to make an appointment for a trim. And the lady went, yeah. 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 Trim. Yeah. Yeah, good on you, love. I thought, this isn't going well. She said, what time? I said, any time. There's fuck all to do here. And she went, yes. Last question. What do you mean by a trim? I said, a mild haircut. I've never had to describe a trim before. And she went, oh, no, love, no, no. We're not hairdressers. We're beauticians. I said, great. What the fuck did you think I needed trimmed? Just a short back and sides, thanks, you know. When I was in Wagga Wagga last, I was so worried about it that I went onto their Facebook community page. If you're ever worried about a town or a suburb, just go onto their Facebook community page and just see if their concerns match yours. They will not. Okay, I went onto the Wagga Wagga Facebook community page and there were a bunch of posts there, all very interesting. But the one that stood out the most to me was by this bloke called Peter. Okay, and he put heaps of effort into this. Okay, spent a lot of time. He wanted everyone to read it. Okay, he decorated it. Okay, it had the sky blue background, had confetti coming down, had Comic Sans font. I was like, Christ, Peter, we're listening. What is it? And it was just a question. And the question was, can anyone work on the weekend? To all of Wagga Wagga, okay? And there were three comments underneath. Obviously, I went for a deep dive. I wanted to see if anyone else could read. And the first comment was, where? And I thought, that's a fair comment. That's actually a really fair question. Well done, Wagga Wagga. Second comment was, doing what? And I was like, actually, that's also fair. Well done. That's two fair questions. They're very good. Can we get three for three? The third comment, my personal favourite, was, if that was your fucking dog barking on the weekend, I'm going to fucking kill you, cunt. Beautiful little town. I do like going back to the country sometimes because we communicate differently there. In the city, we don't really talk to anyone unless you're that bitch Amanda on my street. But in the country, there's two ways to communicate, which is amazing. Okay, the first way is by nodding. Okay, each nod means something different. All right. If you ever go to Wagga, there's four nods you can use. Okay, I'll give you an example of them. All right, there's this first one. This one. That means hello. This one. That means sorry, I drove your ute into the dam. This next one means I'd like to root you. That's a romantic one. And this last one means I'm going to kill you. And you do not want to get those last two mixed up, okay? Could be the most aggressive route of your life. The other way to communicate if you're not a nodder is by talking heaps, so much. Even when everyone's left the room, they're still talking. This is my mum and my aunties, okay? When I was in Wagga last, I went into the news agency there. The lady who worked there didn't know her from a bar of soap, okay? Never met her in my life. But it was like she was waiting for me, okay? I walk in, I see this woman about 60 years old. I walk in and I went, hello. She went, hello, love, it's warm today, isn't it? Unusually warm, never used to get this warm. When I was a kid, used to be able to walk outside without your shoes on. I have to wear my Masua sandals everywhere I go. I got the tan ones these times with the bumps. I used to get the flat ones because I didn't like the little bumps. But I think you got to use them. I think they say that they're better for you. They used to be $30 from the chemist. Now you got to buy them online. They're like 70 bucks. But I think you got to look after your feet. You only get two in your lifetime. I actually made that up. I might write that down, actually. My mum would have hated this heat. God, she was a good woman. She's died, of course. She's died, yeah. I miss her every single day. Auntie Faye's never been the same since she's gone. You should have seen her at the funeral. A real mess. God, I felt embarrassed for her, actually. Uncle Martin, he's changed too a bit, but he's always been a bit weird, a bit simple. I reckon Nan dropped him, but it would have been hard. Would have been hard to be a mum in those days. I didn't even have washing machines. I love my washing machine. I use my washing machine every single day. My husband doesn't know how to use it, never used it once in his life. Someone put a shotgun up to his head and said, turn on the washing machine, Philip. He wouldn't turn on, be dead actually. And at this point in my life, I don't think that's such a bad thing. On my wedding day, my mother said to me, are you sure you want to marry Philip? He's a bit of a dickhead. And I said, Mum, Auntie Margaret's got all tizzied up, I'll just marry the prick. And so I did, and I still regret it. Greg, who lives four doors down from me, God, he's a pest. He's always asking to use my washing machine. I said, no, Greg, do you know why you can't use it? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because you're a liar. And he's a liar. He's always been a liar. In primary school, he was a liar. And then in high school, he was a liar. Did you go to Wagga State High? Of course you went to Wagga State High. God, Miss Jennings, wasn't she a beautiful woman? Such a good teacher. I think there should be a gold statue of her down the main street. Anyway, I'll start a petition. Greg's asked me this. And I said, no, Greg, you're a liar. My friend Narelle in high school had a crush on him. I said, don't go there, Narelle. Don't go there. He's a liar. And she went there. She married him, had kids with him. Ugliest kids I've ever seen in my life. But I wouldn't say that to her, of course, because I'm shy. We got there. We're not good at compliments in the country. We try really hard, but they always come out very wrong. I did a gig just outside of Wagga in this place called Coolerman, and I did a whole hour show, and the microphone didn't work because why the fuck would it? And I just screamed for a whole hour. I screamed so much that I could taste blood by the end. And as everyone was leaving, I was worried they were unhappy. And this big burly fella with white hair and a big belly came walking over to me with a big smile on his face. I was like, oh, could you hear me? And he went, not a word. But I liked how you moved. Okay, thank you, Ian. Another time I was in Dolby in regional Queensland, and this old fellow was sitting at the bar. It's like my dad's age. And when I walked in, he looked at me and his face lit up like he'd recognised me, and I was like, oh, here we go. And he picked up his beer and he walked the whole way over. It staggered. He was so maggot. And his beer was spilling down his sun-kissed ham hock of an arm. It was taking ages. Suspense was killing me because men always say nice things. And by the time he got to me, I was like, what is it? And he went, I've never seen a good-looking redhead. And then he walked away. I thought he was going to be like, until now, but he didn't. Just came to let me know I was part of the problem. I live in the city now. I've lived here for most of my life, but there's certain things that remind me I'm not from here. Like when I see dogs in the city, they're different to dogs in the country, because in the country, dogs are really useful. Like they have a purpose, they're obedient and they're useful. And here in the city, dogs wear clothes. And that's always so embarrassing for me. Clothes on a dog. Like, I understand a little bandana. You need to know if he's from the Crips or the Bloods. But anything else, just seems really embarrassing to me. Last school holidays, I went for a walk out with the kids. I said, come on, kids, we'll go for a walk. Walking around the suburb looking for, like, sticks and the will to live. And we get to the light, pedestrian crossing. I hit the light, I'm waiting. A lady pulls up with a pram, okay? I look in the pram. It's not a baby. It's a dog. That's not the crazy bit. The dog was wearing cargo pants. Cargo pants. What's in his little pockets? Just shame. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, cargo pants. That's bananas. Cargo pants are reserved for soldiers and lesbians, not cavoodles. I was so embarrassed. I was trying to get the kids to not look. I was like, don't, just leave him alone. Okay. I was worried about him. I was like, you can't take him to the park. The staffies are going to bash him. And the woman looked at me. She thought I was making a fuss over her dog. And she went, oh, you got three kids? And I went, yeah. And she went, oh, two girls. You got to be careful with them when they turn into teenagers. Ah. I said, sorry, are you trying to give me parenting advice? When your dog is wearing cargo pants? The light went green. She took off. I held the kids back. I didn't want people to think I was with her. And as hard as the school holidays were, they're all climbing on me. I was like, well, as hard as this is, at least I'm doing better than her. And as she was crossing the road, she kind of slowed down and stopped, turned around and smiled at me. And in that moment, I know she was thinking the exact same thing about me. I think it's important to feel like you're doing better than someone, just one person in your life. Just one person you feel like you're doing better than. That's why we've all got one dead shit mate. I'll let you think about who that is for you. They might be here tonight with you. You almost certainly bought their ticket. Just one dead shit mate. Just one mate who you they're not even that good, but you just keep them around. So some people reckon the comparison is the thief of joy. I think it's the source of it, okay? You just keep them around. You feel better about yourself. Like the one dead shit mate who like can't work out parking signs. They've always got a parking ticket. When they come back to their car, they're like, what the fuck? That wasn't there before. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Like the one mate, like you'll bring her to like a party. She'll just do a beeline for the biggest flog there. She'll chat to him. She'll come back over and she'll go, oh, there's chemistry. I hope this one doesn't steal from me. He will, bitch. He's wearing Oakleys. What are you doing? You know, like the one friend who calls it Valentine's Day, like a fucking idiot. Idiots. I shared this theory with three of my mates. We're out at lunch. I shared this theory with them. We all laughed. Then one of my mates, he stopped laughing and he went, fuck, that's me, isn't it? And we were like, nah. Cool Oakley's butt. I think it's the worst to make friends as an adult, isn't it? It's just the worst making friends as an adult. You know, as a kid, you just have to walk over to someone and be like, how fast are my shoes? Let's be friends! And as an adult, you have to spend the first 3 months being like, what? Wow, your husband is interesting. Yes, good choice, girl. But yeah, it'd just be so much easier to just walk over to someone who you think you're going to be friends with and be like, do you laugh when babies fall down too? But you can't do it. It's so awkward. I watched in real time this woman making friends, okay? I was in Sydney. I had a really big important gig that I got there really early for. It was a really big gig. It mattered a lot, you know, not like this. And so I got there early. I was sitting at the pub next to the gig and I watched this woman making friends with this new group of ladies, okay? And they were like in like their mid-40s. They had like lots of leopard print. Lots of hatred for their husbands, okay? This is the energy they were bringing. And this one woman was, like, really struggling to kind of, like, seem fun. And there's, like, extra energy that she was putting in. It was the worst to watch. Anyway, when I had to leave, I went upstairs to the bathroom first. As I was in the bathroom, I noticed three ladies walk in. Two of the ladies had been friends forever and one lady is the new one, okay? Let's call her Michelle because that's her name. Anyway... Two of the ladies knew each other, each went into a cubicle, leaving Michelle standing next to the hairdryers and I was washing my hands. And Michelle has this moment where she knows she has to talk because when you're a woman, you can't just stand in the toilets quietly, okay? Because it looks like you're there to listen to someone piss. So you must. It's the law. You have to talk. Even if it's racial slurs, you must fill that space. So it's Michelle's job, okay? And she has not only this moment a role, but she's also could be fun, okay? So she's standing there and she thinks, I can really impress him. So she just went, uh-oh. We're in the wrong room. And I was like, yeah, I'll stay for this. And one of the ladies in the cubicle was like, what? Are we in the gents? Michelle goes quite pink. She goes, no, not in the chance. We're just in the wrong room because this says ladies. I am washing my elbows. The other lady from the cubicle goes, sorry, what are you talking about? Like they're fed up. Michelle is now red in the face. She really needs to sell this last bit. She goes, because it says ladies and we're not ladies, we're crazy animals. I'm washing my shoulders. The ladies now in the cubicles, they've completely gone silent now. They're like, fuck this lady. You know, like they're fed up. They'd rather crawl out the window than see her again. Michelle, who's standing there deep in shame and in silence as well, and she kind of looks at me. Because you know when you do something really embarrassing, like you trip over or you bang your head, you kind of quickly scan the room to make sure no one saw it. And then you'll just see one person being like this. And you're like, fuck, you know, like I was that person for Michelle. So I was like, oh, I could make this better. And so I had to dig deep to think, how can I help her? I thought back to all the kind advice men offer me on the internet. And I said, women aren't funny. And I left. Helped her a lot, thank you. I have three children and to the untrained eye, it looks like I'm getting worse at parenting. But I'm not, I'm just becoming more strategic, okay, more strategic. Like when my first was born, I wasted a lot of time, okay. When she was a newborn, I did the most useless thing. So, like I read to her. As a newborn, if she could speak, she'd be like, excuse me, I can't see. I'd take her to like these baby dancing classes. She's a newborn. I was in this like singing and dance at the back of the class with her arms in my arms being like this, and she was like this. Absolutely horrific. Wasted all this time with my second born. I don't remember anything there. If you're a second born, your mum doesn't remember you. Okay, nothing. With my third, he's now become like a little experiment. Like how little can I do for him to still survive? Turns out very little, okay? Very little, all right? Like the first thing that went was discipline. So he'll pull his sister's hair, she'll push him off, he'll start crying and I'll yell down the hallway, just let him pull your hair. It's not good. I'm creating this tiny little bundle of red flags that's just going to grow up into Australia's biggest cunt. I'm sorry about that. His favourite thing for me to wear is a hat, and his favourite hat for me to wear is a helmet. I woke up the other morning and he was standing at the base of my bed doing this. Mum, 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 mum. Played dead for ages. Eventually, I got up. I look over at him. He's standing there in a nappy and a helmet, the bare essentials. He's trying to pass me a helmet. If it was my firstborn, I would have said, no, sweetie, that's an outdoor hat, an outdoor hat, an outdoor hat. Let's go learn how to write it. Because he was my third, I was like, righto. I put it on, I clicked it up, I went down the hallway to make breakfast. My daughters came out, they look at me. And I think they're going to be like, what? But they're like, morning. I mean, fuck, how long have I been wearing this helmet for? And I know he's going to grow out of this stage. Babies grow out of stages like this, but I don't want him to grow out of this one because I've never felt safer. Right? I wear this helmet so much I went to the shops with it, okay? I got in the car, put the kids in the car. He took his helmet off. He's not a fucking idiot. I drove to the shops like this. I waved at a school mum, hello, Jana. She was like, fuck, how bad at driving does Bron think she is? Not bad enough to put them on the kids. I get to the shop. I did the whole shops like this. No one said anything to me because no one calls a crazy lady crazy. I get home with the shops. I put it down. I look in the mirror and I'm like, fucking hell. I think the good thing is I'm not gonna get a head injury today. The bad thing is I do look like I've got one. Okay, I've got one more story for you guys. Thanks so much for coming out. One more round of applause. Okay. All right, one more story. Great. Okay. Here we go. My mother thinks I'm too hard on my partner. It's so annoying. It's really annoying. She thinks I'm too hard. His name's Lucas. Mum thinks I'm too hard on Lucas. But my mum's from that generation where women think that men who do the bare fucking minimum are incredible. Okay, so like my mum and my aunties, they'll look at Lucas and my brothers-in-law and they'll be like, oh, my God, they've helped at Christmas. Pure angels. Annoys me so much. When mum comes to visit, she'll stay at our house and Lucas will take his socks off and pick them up and mum will go, oh, oh my goodness. Oh, Lucas. Bronnie, come have a look what Lucas has done. He's done it all by himself. Come have a look what he's done. God, Lucas, good boy. Oh, good boy. Well done. And I think, fuck, he must be feeling so patronised right now. But I look at him and he's standing there with a sock in each hand like this. I'm like, oh, my God, something's wrong with him. And when I had our son, I'll tell you this story, but before I tell you this story, I need you to know that Lucas is a good man. Okay, he's a good man. He's a regular man, but he is a good man, okay? He's so good. Before I did this, before I did stand up, I was a high school teacher, and some of you might not know this, but in teaching, they get paid money sometimes. Okay, and sometimes in comedy, we get paid in flat beer. So I said to Lucas, "Hey, I think I want to leave teaching and go into comedy." And by this stage, we had a mortgage and two kids, and he said to me, I think you should. I think you'd be amazing. I'll support you entirely. And he has done. If he didn't support this, then I wouldn't be able to do any of it. I need you to know this about him. Because in this next story, he sounds like a fuckhead. Okay. So my son, before he was born, throughout the pregnancy, had to have lots of extra scans because his head was enormous, like so, so enormous. Like I can't remember the medical term for it, but I think it was the destroyer. Anyway. So it meant I was induced 2 weeks early, okay? So we knew when our son's birthday was going to be. So the night before I had my son, Lucas said to me, hey, because we're having a baby tomorrow. do you reckon it's cool if I invite two of my mates over for a last hurrah? Now, because I was silent there because of pure rage, he took that silence as, definitely, absolutely. To give you full context of the people who came over, their names, two blokes, their names are Walshy and Donga, okay? So Walshy and Donga come to my house for this last hurrah that he desperately deserved after 9 months of fucking doing nothing, okay? So they come over, they sit on the back deck, they drink their deck and they drink everything. They drink everything they can find, things under the sink, okay? I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, I look over at Lucas and he's so hungover that his features have moved. You know when... someone's so hungover they do not look the same at all. Like, his phone couldn't recognise him. He was like... I was like, what have you done? He was like, I might have gone a bit too hard. I was like, no time, we've got to go. We walk down to the car. We don't get in the car. We can't. He's over the limit. We walk to the hospital. I get to the hospital. The midwife who's there is the same generation as my mum, the same mentality. She looks at me and she goes, oh, hello. And she looks at Lucas and went, oh, you've come. And he went, didn't I have to? And the midwife goes, now, are you going to stay for the whole thing? And he went, do I have to? I was like, yes, you do. We go into the birthing suite and it's labour kicks off. It is by far the worst of the three labours I go through. It's absolutely agonising. And it's freezing as well. But they make birthing suites arctic. I don't know why. I think they're like, oh, she's not uncomfortable enough. Anyway, I knew this. I knew it was going to be like this because it's my third baby. So in between horrible contractions, I go over to my maternity bag and I pull out this very camp white woolen shawl, okay, that I wear at home. It's very camp. It has tassels all the way around the bottom, has flowers embroidered all over it. I wrap my sore, swollen body in it. I look over at Lucas, who's standing there in a T-shirt, shorts and Havaiana thongs. Fucking grow up. Anyway... He's standing there and he's shivering. He's like, oh. And he goes, did you bring me one? I said, did I bring you a maternity bag? I didn't bring you a maternity bag. I look over the midwife thinking she's going to be on my side now. But she went, oh, let him have it. And because he's so hungover, he is essentially brain damaged. He walks over and he unwraps this shawl from my sore, swollen body and wraps his dumb fuck body in it, walks over to this lounge that's designed for labouring women. It's like covered in very like noisy plastic and he just lies down on it and goes to sleep. So I have to labour by myself. I have this really noisy contraction. He awakes from his slumber to offer me this advice. No pain, no gain. And I look over the midwife thinking, crutch, she's going to be on my side now. But she was like, he's right. The pain is agonising. I'm doing it all by myself. So eventually I need an epidural. I need someone to come and take the pain away. I beg for one. About 4 million years later, the doctor walks in to help me out. And he walks in. I'm a mess, okay? I'm like, oh, my God, please, can you hurry up? Thank you for coming. Can you please hurry up? Don't have to go through all the risks. I've had them before. Please just hurry up and do it. And he went, oh, not talking to her like that. She's hysterical. And the midwife went, yeah, she's been pretty difficult. And Lucas went, tell me about it. And so I'm on now and outnumbered, okay? I have to make everything like big and loud and sore about me just tiny, into this tiny little black pebble into the pit of my stomach, okay? And I'm like, I'm so sorry, doctor. I'm so sorry for that outburst. I was just wondering if it's not a big deal. Sorry, not all about me. How are you? How are you? You look very well. I like your little hat. Are these jammies or scrubs? What's the difference? How are you? How's your family? Do you have
kids, how are they going? Are you well? Sorry to disturb your shift. I'm very sore. I'm dealing with a horrific labor and I've got a fucking bitch and a fucking idiot in the room with me, and I was just wondering if it's not too much trouble if you could give me a little needle in my spine, if it's not too much, only if it's okay with you. I don't want to put you out. How do you do? Is it okay? And eventually I've calmed down enough for him to deal with me, and he was like, okay, fine, I'll give it to her now. Lucas, we're going to need your help for this. Lucas, who's still lying down, the midwife went, oh, he's pretty tired. I reckon he can help. And then he gets up, he comes over. Doctor says, Bron, you sit on the edge of the bed, and Lucas, you hold her legs, because if she moves while I'm giving her this needle, then I might damage her spine. And by this stage, he's sitting in front of me, and my face and his face are roughly 20 centimetres apart, okay? And it's the first time I've seen his eyes open for hours. I'm looking dead into him, and I go, I'm going to kill you. As soon as I get the feeling back in my legs, you're fucking gone. Anyway, you're holding my legs. I go, okay, Bron, one more contraction. As soon as this contraction's over, we'll give you the needle. I said, okay. I clench my eyes shut, clench my teeth, horrible contractions happening. As soon as it's over, I'm like, okay, can you please ask, okay? If it's okay, if you please, thank you very much. I love you. And he went, okay. And then the midwife went, whoa, doctor, wait. I opened my eyes. I looked down. The midwife goes, Lucas, wake up. He's fallen asleep on my knees wearing my fucking shawl. And I can't reach a scalpel, okay? I told this story during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and he came and saw the show, and I did not tell him I was going to do that story. And he was sitting in the second row where you are, sir, and he's like a 6'2" man, so he's very visible to me. And as I start telling this story, I watch him getting smaller and smaller and smaller. By the end of the story, I can't see him at all. I think he's just lying on the ground, but I've seen that in a maternity suite. So the end of the show, everyone is leaving. He hides at the back. Everyone leaves. He comes over to me at the end. He went, oh, good show, Bron, yeah. But did you have to do the story about the labour? And I said, oh, it's the reason I did the show, cunt.